Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
There's going to be opposition against what the Lord's called you to do. You just have to know it and expect it so that when it happens, you're like, this is the enemy.
You're listening to Chiseled and Called with Brittany Dawn, a podcast about finding freedom in imperfection and peace in your broken pieces through Jesus. Our prayer is that today's message will bless you, embolden you, and fix your gaze on the King, that it will stir up the calling God has placed within you. Without further ado, here's your host, Brittany Dawn.
Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast. I am your host, Brittany Dawn, and I am so excited about today's special guest. Most of you guys probably know her, and this is truly something that has been a long time in the making. We finally got her schedules to align, and Allie Schnacki is with us today to share all of the things that God is doing in her life. So without further ado, let's hop in. Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast, Allie. How are you?
I am so good and so excited to be here.
Oh my gosh, this is so fun. I feel like this has been a long time coming because we've followed each other for a while, and I reached out. It's been a few months since I reached out, and then it happened. So here we are.
So when my team first told me that you reached out, I was like, oh my gosh, I like love Brittany so much. I genuinely feel like I've known you for so long just because of how much I keep up with your stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess like our schedules were just not aligning. And I was like, you know what? I don't care. We got to make this happen because I have to see Brittany.
Yeah, that's how I feel about you guys, like you and all your friends and the Jaywalkers conference, like the whole, just all of y'all. I follow all of you guys, and it's just so refreshing to see people that have platforms that are using it for the glory of God, right? Because it's we know there's people out there that have them and they're not, and they're using them for vain reasons. And y'all are just incredible. And I'm so proud of what you guys are doing and the way you are letting the Lord use your platforms, and you're giving it all back to Him. It's so fun. So for people that don't know who you are, which I'm sure a lot of people do, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we can kind of go from there.
Yeah. Okay. So my name is Allie Schnacki. I am on social media. That's what I kind of do for my job, but I do not consider myself an influencer. I literally just do life with my friends and my family. We post videos on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram. And ultimately, our reason and our heartbeat behind all that we do is to push everything that God's given us back to Him. And so in really August of last year, we started a worship collective called Jaywalkers Worship. We put out our first song this year, which is crazy because it feels like forever ago, but it was this year in January called Silence. And the Lord just continued to expand our influence for His kingdom. And we held our first ever conference the same year.
So this last September,
which was so a God thing. And we can go into those details because that was a miracle. But yeah, that's basically who I am. I'm a part of a collective of like, there's like 12 of us. We're all friends and family, and we have been for like our entire life since I was 14. So none of us were on social media until quarantine, and the Lord just made it happen. That's the most I can say.
And that's so sweet. Like when it's God, it's God. There's okay. No man that can stop it. There's no man that can make it happen. And I love that. That's your story. That's about right, because I had never heard of you 4 years ago when all of that was happening. Yeah. And then I think 3 years ago, you came across my page and I was like, who is this girl? She's precious. Like, I need to know more about her. And then when I found out you guys are all walking for and living for the Lord, I was like, okay, I can get behind this team of people. And it's just so special that you're doing it with your family. And so tell us a little bit about Jaywalkers. This is going to be probably going to make you giggle. Literally like 4 months ago, I was listening to your song, and I was like, I don't know how to pronounce what they're called. So I had to Google it. I had to Google it because I was like, I don't know how to pronounce this. I had a feeling it was like Jaywalkers, but then once I was like, okay, now I know. But I love that. Tell us maybe what it stands for and then how that kind of all came about, as well as the conference.
So yeah, so it's actually a funny story. So we started Jaywalkers Worship last year, but Jaywalkers was actually my youth group growing up.
Wow.
So my family started a youth group when I was around 14 years old. So in 2015, and we called it Jaywalkers. My brother, he's like so creative. He comes up with the randomest things, and he came up with this name with all of his friends. And basically what it stands for is Jesus Walkers, Living Known, Resisting Status Quo. And so,
whoa.
Yeah,
that's good.
It's weird because nobody ever asks that. They're just like, oh, Jaywalkers, like breaking the rules. And I'm like, there's actually a like meaning behind it. But it started way back in 2015. We always wanted to do ministry. We grew up and my dad was a worship pastor, and we actually were called to a Baptist church. My dad was helping out. From there, we started this youth group and God just kind of like grew it, and it became a safe hub for so many young individuals like me. And then when quarantine happened, it completely shut down. We tried to move everything over to Zoom, and we still have a Zoom going on. It's more of a discipleship now that kind of dives deep into those that really want to take the next step in their relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. But we're like, dang, like we got to do something to meet in person again, which is when we started our events last year in August. And
wow.
It's just kind of just grown ever since. But, and I know I'm talking your ear off, but this is my favorite part.
No, you're good.
What's so awesome about this and what I love to share is ever since we were young, like little kids, my dad had a prophecy over him that he would influence the influencers. And wow. This was before influencers was a word. Like,
that's crazy. I just got chills.
No, it's what God is just all over this. And so this presbytery is literally on our wall in our house. And just growing up, we just had this random blimp because he saw a blimp when God showed it to him, and just on our wall. And we read it like our entire lives, and it doesn't make sense. And my brother kind of grew up in like the industry. Like he was in LA and in Miami, and he did a lot of music, and not really any of us, but mostly him. And then in 2020, we were all kind of our separate ways. So I was in Brazil doing missions. Noah and my dad were doing country music in Germany. My sisters were like scattered all over doing dance in high school and whatnot. And this is the part I really love, is God has always told us since we were like young doing Jaywalkers that we were going to do ministry together as like a family. And that was going to be our job. Mm-hmm. But it seemed impossible. Like it literally, Brittany, because it always does, seems so impossible. And I literally in 2020, because I had no job, I was like, I need a direction for my life, Lord. I just want to do ministry, but how am I going to make a living off this? I would go down to the nature trail in my neighborhood and I would write. I saw a sermon one time. This pastor said, make marks in a tree of your biggest prayers and pray over it so that you always have something to look back on. So I'd pray over that vision that the Lord gave us to influence the influencers and do ministry together. In 2020, the Lord brought us all home from all over the world for quarantine. We started social media. I wasn't even on social media. I really didn't like it that much.
Mm-hmm.
But God called us into it. And that is literally what he used to start where Jaywalkers Worship is today. And where Chosen and Free, my women's ministry, is. And like, those giftings that he's placed inside of us that we've never like been able to use. So kind of talked your ear off. But God,
that is insane. No, that's so beautiful. I love that you shared that because it just goes to show the anointing that Jaywalkers and Chosen and Freed, right, is the name of your ministry?
Yes, Chosen and Free.
Yeah, it just goes to show the anointing that you guys are carrying with that. And that's just how God works. When we obey him and we step out in faith, even if we don't see what's on the other side of it, he's so faithful to meet us there and exceedingly and abundantly beyond anything we could ever ask or imagine. Yes. That is crazy. And then the prophecy, I had a prophecy spoken over me when I was 16. And I was super shy, super like timid, wanted to be at the back, didn't want to be seen by anyone. And this pastor in like a crowd of hundreds calls me out and he's like, you're going to speak to millions. And I'm like, there's no way. Like, he's got the wrong chick. Like, that's not me. And then, like, looking at how faithful God was to continually chase me down, even when I wasn't living for him, even when I wasn't glorifying him in any capacity, like, that's what he does. He's a faithful father. And just hearing, like, how he used something that quarantine, you know, the enemy was trying to work really, really hard during that in all of our lives, and how God grew something. He planted a seed and he grew it into a full-blown tree that took root. I love that. So yeah, so you do ministry full-time with your family.
Yes. Well, okay. So we do ministry full-time. We also are on like YouTube, and stuff like that. Like, we do things that to other people might not seem like their ministry. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, because they don't have to see it. But the Lord has called us into it. And I truthfully believe it's because and this is not wrong. And I really want to emphasize that, because God has called us all into different things.
Yeah.
But we really, with our YouTubes, we're really trying to like reach the lost. Mm-hmm. And so how we're doing that, and the Lord showed us to do that, is literally just live our lives. And this sounds so simple. Live your life. Don't be like, Christian, live your life, invite the people in, have them gain your trust, and then through your life and through talking about Jesus, just because when he's mm-hmm. at the foundation of your life, you can't hide it. You talk about yeah. him in everything. Like, yeah. I have a podcast. They know I'm a Christian, but there's content that's not so much like deep diving into what scripture mm-hmm. says that I think gains their trust. And a lot of people don't see that as ministry, but I know it is, because I've yeah. seen it change lives, if that yeah. makes sense.
Oh no, absolutely. I'm right there with you. Like, I would say my Instagram is more like everything is about the Lord, but then like YouTube is different than TikTok, you know, whereas like, I'm kind of just like you said, just living my life. This is what I do. This is who I am. Oh, and Jesus, like, yes. And they see that you can't hide when you have the Holy Spirit, because you're carrying his light, you're carrying his love and his presence. And it shifts something in you, and you're different. And people notice that. We were in New York City this week, when we were just walking past people, Jordan noticed that there were just people that were drawn to us naturally, like strangers, complete strangers in a subway. And they would just like gravitate towards us. And like, you could see they were like, I kind of want to smile back at them. Like, when, you know, in New York City, it's not that way at all. And Jordan and I started talking about it, and he goes, you know, it's really crazy seeing it up here, especially because they don't realize that the reason they're being drawn to you is because of the Holy Spirit. And we were created to live for Jesus, to know the Holy Spirit. And so even people that don't know of him, they're naturally gravitating towards that. So I love that you guys do that, because it is so important. And being able, I think we can get really religious if we're not careful. Of like, you can't partake in the world at all as a Christian. I'm like, we're called to be in the world. We're just not of it. And so I love that you guys represent that with your content, with, you know, YouTube. And you said earlier that you don't like considering yourself an influencer. Does that make you cringe the same way it makes me cringe?
Oh my gosh, Brittany, I literally cannot even take it.
Like, it's the worst.
Influencer, and I'm like, ugh. Yeah. That is just so icky.
Yeah. I just say, like, if, like, when we're, you know, getting a house or a car or something, like, what's your profession? I'm like, content creator. I honestly don't even say influencer. Yeah. Cause it's just like, it painted a bad picture for so many in this digital era that we live in. And so I love that you also feel that way. Cause I'm just like, ooh, I'm not a fan of it. And, Yeah. So yeah, you and Austin, y'all, I know we were kind of talking about it before we started recording, but talk a little bit about doing ministry with your significant other and what that's been like. Cause I think there's a lot of women that they pray for someone in ministry. They want to be, you know, married eventually to someone that is also walking that same walk. Maybe share a little bit about how the Lord answered your prayers and what that's been like. If you guys haven't heard by now already, in the month of October, I launched a new business called Hazel and Lane. Seeing what God has done so far has absolutely blown our minds. And if you don't know what Hazel and Lane is, let me give you a 20-second Cliff Notes version. In October of 2022, I had a miscarriage that would forever change a lot of things in my life. But what happened next is something I never would have expected. In my most broken moment, the Lord birthed a beautiful new thing. Just days after my miscarriage, I had an open vision of what I am currently living out with this business, a women and children's boutique. One thing led to another, and 1 year later, October of 2023, that vision came to life. Hazel and Lane were the two names that we had picked out for that child, and now every day is a sweet reminder of the children that we have waiting on the other side of heaven. It's been nothing short of amazing, and I am so incredibly grateful for the way that this community has rallied around this dream. If you are looking for a Christ-focused business to support this holiday season, or just want to shop around for yourself, you can visit us at hazelandlane.com. That's HazelandLayne.com. And while you're there, you can use the code podcast for free shipping. Every package is prayed over and put together with love.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This was literally when I was actually telling Brittany before we started recording. When it comes to like who, ever since I was a little girl, I prayed to the Lord because I knew he called me to ministry. And how I knew is because I knew I could never see myself doing anything else. Like I just knew it wouldn't fulfill me. That is all I wanted to do. And so as a little girl, I started to pray and ask the Lord for a husband that would walk alongside of me in that calling and in ministry. I thought he would be a pastor. Like, honestly, Austin might be a pastor. I don't know. Like, who knows what God is going to do down the line?
Amen.
I don't know anything. But growing up, my dad was a worship leader. So that was an amazing model for me. And I saw how a man that was rooted in ministry, like, could just lead a family so heavily. And I'm sure there are other guys that do too. That was just what was modeled for me. So it's always something that I desired, a huge desire of my heart. And I believe it's because the Lord planted it there. And it wasn't just something I was praying like, God, I pray he's 6 feet tall, which I did that too. And
yeah,
he answered that. Hallelujah.
We all have our height preferences.
Yeah. There's short kings out there too that you girls like go after and you love it. So I just prayed for a 6 foot man. And God cares about the details too.
Amen. Amen.
But my deal breaker, and unless God changed my mind, was definitely that he was in ministry, because I saw myself when the Lord gave me visions of what I would be doing, going and traveling with my family. And that looked like not being home a lot, or that could have been like in different countries or whatever. And so I wanted to make sure that whoever I married, and that's what I felt the Lord was saying, was aligned with that, so that we wouldn't be apart, but that together we could do that and be stronger. And so truthfully, like I never dated anybody before Austin. And a big reason was because of that, because the guys that I would talk to, even like my type, this is so funny. My type was so baseball players. Like I just loved them baseball players growing up. There's something about them. I just could spot them from a mile away. And so I would talk to a lot of baseball, not a lot, but I talked to like some baseball players, and it would just go nowhere because I just couldn't shake what the Lord had spoken off of me. It didn't matter how fun it seemed to be in the crowd, or how fun it seemed to like date the musician, or I knew the Lord had called me to do ministry with my husband. And if he did not align with that, I couldn't get over it. And so when Austin, like I've known Austin since I was 14, and we literally, it was so nothing. I mean, we kind of liked each other when we were like little, but then it was so nothing. We like weren't even that close friends at all. It was actually a really weird relationship. We didn't like each other that much.
Wow.
And, like for real, Brittany. Like
we That's
like,
crazy. That's, I never would have known that, because you guys are like so... Yeah, I never would have known that y'all like didn't like each other at one point, or like weren't friends. Because the entirety of me following you guys before y'all even came out and said like we're dating, I was like, yeah, there's something going on. Like they are like, and it was so cute. I have a thumbs up on my screen right now. That's
How did
so
you
weird.
Do that?
I don't know. I guess maybe that was so strange.
I really thought to myself, oh my gosh, she has like cracked the code. She has these interaction things popping up.
I have no idea how I just did that. But yeah, like before you guys even like shared your whole journey of like the first kiss and when you started dating and how he asked you, like I knew, you know, because it was so obvious to so many people. But that's wild to think that there was a season where you guys didn't even talk, didn't really get along.
We did not get along, like at all. And truthfully, a lot of it was because we were so similar, like super similar. And like Austin like was like broke my heart when I was like 14.
Oh.
It wasn't even like a deep broke my heart. He literally just embarrassed me in front of my brother one time.
That'll do it.
I don't know if like that like was it. I'm not really sure like what it was. But there was a pivotal moment that is, and I don't even know if I've shared this. There was a pivotal moment that literally, Brittany, was the moment that I think like my eyes were kind of opened, because Austin was a little more like aware than I was. I tend to fight and he's more of the lover.
That's how my husband is too.
But I remember in like 2020, me and Austin started doing videos together, and that was really hard because we're like, oh, this is so awkward. Like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And I remember one day, like me and him drove somewhere to film a video and we were sitting on top of this hill. And I just asked the question. I was like, so like what? And this was not normal for us to go by ourselves. Like we were not close. I was like, so like, what do you want to do like for your job, like your career? And I wasn't even asking like that at all. It was not even in my mind. And Austin was like, you know, I really feel the Lord's called me to like take my guitar and do worship to all the nations. And I really see that looking like, and this is before we vlogged. He's like, I really see that looking like doing content like all over the world and like sharing what God is doing through our lives, like whether it's vlogging, whoever I end up with. And that was literally the vision that the Lord had given me. And I didn't tell him.
Crazy.
I did not tell him. I was just like, that's weird, God. No. Like that is not happening. Not at all. Okay. This is not. No. And he wasn't thinking of anything either. And then just little things like that kept happening where the Lord would literally like press it. I went on a date with a guy and I didn't do that like ever. That was my first date. And it was a double date. And Austin's like, please don't go, which was weird because we weren't close like that. And so
yeah,
there were like little things that the Lord would do and dreams that he would give both of us that were the same of both of us together in the future that like we wouldn't share until like way later on. And so the Lord just like, even my family asks me like, how did this happen? Like, did Austin just pray really hard or did you pray really hard? And I'm like, dude, it's so just God's hand over everything. But to answer your question, there's nothing like doing ministry with your significant other, because you feel like if everything you're doing is building the kingdom of God together, like there's no better foundation than that. What's built on a rock, like it's going to stand. So if that literally is the foundation of your life, and not everybody is called into doing ministry full time, but as a believer, your life is your ministry wherever you are.
Yeah.
So you just build it together.
Wow. That's so beautiful. That's how it's been for us too. Like my testimony is I didn't always choose the right guys. And I got in a really bad relationship, was divorced at 25, 26. And then it was just like a downward spiral after that before I had my encounter with Jesus. And then when I did, it was like the veil had been lifted off my eyes of like, oh, this is what I deserve. I deserve someone that is walking the same direction as I am and has that same calling. And now like just getting to do ministry with your spouse, there's no better feeling than that. And knowing that like if you get a word from the Lord when you're out in public to go pray for that stranger, they're not going to look at you and think you're crazy. They're going to come stand next to you and start, you know, contending in the spirit with you. And so, yeah, I love that. So maybe like for the last part of this, share a little bit about your testimony, like what the Lord has done in your life. I actually personally don't know your full testimony. I don't know if I'm sure you've shared it somewhere, but yeah, I'm sure that just sharing parts of that could really encourage someone that's listening in right now.
Yeah, for sure. And just so you guys know, Austin is the best. I don't think about that now. I am like so beyond thankful.
You're like, God. I just need to clarify.
Yeah, no, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, did I? No, he is literally above my dreams could have ever imagined. He is like the most patient man I've ever met in my life. And my family sees it. I don't know how he deals with me.
Y'all are so cute together. Literally the cutest. Like it looks like a Hallmark movie. When you guys started sharing all your stuff, I was like, this could be a Hallmark movie, you guys. Like
Brittany, I promise on everything. I literally was just in LA last week and we met with Great American Family. And I told them, I was like, it is literally me and Austin's dream to be in a Great American Family movie.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's exciting. Okay. So stay tuned. Like maybe in the future.
Yes. Pray. Pray.
Yes. Yes.
That is details, awesome. People.
Oh, he does. He so does. Like even the, you mentioned the height thing, like God really cares about all those details. Now he's not going to like answer our list of like, you know, cause girls, we can list 100 different things we want in a guy, but he is going to care about the details that matter the most to us. And so, yeah. Wow. That's exciting.
Honestly, like, I know that you asked me that question. I'm going to answer it, but I kind of have something else I want to like say.
Quick. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Just cause I have like, I kind of want to know from your perspective too. Mm-hmm. So as I got to, I wonder if you think the same, I'm sure you do to somewhat, but because of such a, like, I'm going to say it this way, as women of God, we, even growing up, like I had my list of things that I believed that the Lord had for mm-hmm. me, for my husband. Yeah. And that list, I realized, and those things that I wrote out became almost like a cage,
an idol.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. It really did. It became an idol. And so I truthfully believe that like, that is a huge like problem that us as women of God are dealing with nowadays, because even stepping into a relationship with Austin, I realized that I really did hold him to an unfair standard of what wow. I thought that I deserved. And if there was wow. anything on my list that I made that he did not live up to, it was like no grace for that.
Wow.
And I've seen, as I begin to talk to girls, that that's something that a lot of us are doing. And I would just want to encourage you guys that are watching this to not stay in a relationship, because I'm not saying that at all. If you're in a relationship that the man is not leading you, that he is treating you poorly, and he is not honoring God, and he's pushing your boundaries, like there are red flags. You need to get the heck out of there.
Yeah.
But also, there's going to be areas that your significant other is growing in, and that is so okay. And mm-hmm. actually, it's been such an honor. My favorite part of being with Austin is the fact that we're growing together.
Yeah.
Like, instead of looking at it like I did in the beginning, to where if you're not everywhere that I wanted my husband to be, I'm not going to get with you. Instead of viewing it like that, I view it as, does he have a heart to want to grow? Does he have a yeah. heart to want to learn? And if he does, like that is the most amazing quality that you could ever get in a guy ever, is a yeah. humble man that seeks the Lord and wants to grow and wants to learn. And if you have that, do not hold them, and don't hold yourself even up to a list of the things that you have written down that are non-negotiables for you, when the Lord could literally just be like bringing you there. There's just mm-hmm. a process.
Yes, that's so beautiful. I wanted to be like, amen. I'm the girl in church that I'm like, yeah. I'm like, amen. I'm like, let's go. But I can't do that because we're in a podcast. But yes, everything you said, if we don't yield to the Lord and instead we choose our list, this unrealistic standards that we've placed on these men, or, you know, the men we're dating, and then the man that's in front of us when we start dating someone, we can block our own blessing. I saw that in my past, and it's just, yeah, we don't show them grace, but then we expect them to show us grace when we make right. mistakes, because we know our flaws. Like we meet a guy and you know your baggage, like you know what you carry into this, but you expect them to be perfect. And I'm like, and even as you get older, you know, I'm 32. As you get older, like you've lived a little more life. You've gone through a lot more hard things at that point. Your 20s are not easy for most people. Like my 20s were full of mistakes and learning lessons and redemptive moments. But like I carried all that into marriage, and I can't expect someone to be perfect for me when I have my own, you know? And so I think if we're not careful, we can let things like height. And for me, it was, I lived in Dallas for 4 years. I was convinced that I was going to marry someone that was like 6'5", no tattoos, was a doctor or an attorney.
Right,
like that exactly. was, yeah, a businessman. That's what I thought I was going to marry. And those are the kind of guys that I dated. But then like Jordan, and he's got two arm sleeves. He's a former cop, and he is a protector. Like that man would lay, literally would lay his own life down for anyone around him. And looking at everything that I've gone through with, you know, I've been very open. I went through cancel culture and all of that. And we had crazy people showing up at the house. And the Lord so strategically gave me what I needed, because the moment I met him, even though we lived 20 minutes from each other, I still felt so safe knowing that he could be there in 20 minutes if I needed him. Like, there was just something, some kind of security that came with knowing that he was the one God had placed in my life. And so had I been stuck with my list of like, he must be 6'5", he must look like this, he must have this career, I would have totally blocked my blessing. And so I love that you said that, because I do think that a lot of women struggle with that. And if we're not careful, we, you know, like I said, we can block what God's trying to do. And then we wonder why we're still single.
Yes, it's so true. And honestly, Brittany, like, I've been following you for so long. And like, I've just seen how you really, like, really do live for an audience of one. And I think that's really what drew me to you, because especially in like, the day we're in right now and all that's going on in the world and like our role as Christians and things to stand for, that like the Bible is literally calling us to stand for. Like, it's true. You are putting yourself up against that cancel culture pretty much now by every single thing that we say, because the world preaches your truth. The Bible is the truth. So when you're telling people that they have one truth to live up against and that they can't just feel the way they feel, you're going to get somewhat of a pushback. And you have been somebody that has just dealt with that so beautifully and so graciously. And I so mean that. Like,
thank you.
I am so in your corner. And I guess my question for you and for all the people like listening, I think that they'd really take value from this. And maybe that you've already shared it, but maybe I just, it's good for me to hear. I want to know, like, truthfully, how do you continue to stand up and put out content that is so counterculture and just like protect your mind and your heart and keep going?
That's so good. I love that you asked that, because I don't think I've ever actually really shared that. I was talking to, we were just in New York City. I got to interview with Mike Signorelli, who is, he does Deliverance, and they've got an incredible church up there. And the only thing that makes sense to me, the only reason why I can continue doing that, is truly putting on the armor of God. And it's like the Lord let me go through all those fires, you know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God was in the fire with them. They went through it, and they were in the fire, but they weren't touched. They didn't come out smelling like smoke. And it was as if God let me go through everything that I went through in 2019 so that I could come out on the other side, not smelling like smoke, untouched, unharmed. But then you're like, that increase of faith, that you're like, if I can go through that, then like, how much more can God protect me from when I live for him? And I think really just like armoring up every day, as cheesy as that sounds, right? But Ephesians 6 tells us the importance of that, of putting all of that on every single morning. And it's not to say that there's days that aren't hard, right? I mean, you know, like there's, with what we do, there's comments that come and not everyone's going to like you. And most days it doesn't bother me, but every now and then there's one, you know, like I just posted a video. It's always the ones that like attack my body, because I was in the fitness industry. So I was like, it was my job to stay 10% body fat, which for a woman is not healthy. And like now we're trying to have babies. So I had to put on 10 pounds since 2019 to be able to have, you know, a healthy cycle and healthy hormones. And there was a comment last week where someone like said something just so cruel, and it just hit me. And I was like, this isn't okay. But even then, in those moments, allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart and like not speaking from a place of offense, but speaking from a place of, this is what the Lord is telling me. This is how I believe this can help someone else. Like, my worth doesn't come from what people say about me. My worth doesn't come from any of this, the likes, the comments, the validation. Like, if I lost it all tomorrow, knowing that, again, like you said, my audience is one. And it's been wild, because in 2018, when I was doing all of this, I would have crumbled. Like, only God can get the glory. And I don't know if that answered your question.
So did. I've been so curious about that, because you're one of the most like gracious, strong, like influencers that I follow in that way.
Thank you. Truthfully.
it's so inspiring. And I know that like your content has touched my life and it touches so many people's lives. And it is, it's so like the enemy to get us focused on like one comment when there's a ton of other people that like are being impacted for eternity.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Right. And like, I just always try every day to be, I pray for the Lord to make me unoffendable, which is
me too.
Yes. We have to pray that because it's just with the digital era we live in, everything is offense. People are like, you know, going after each other and people are making videos about other people. And I'm just like, that's a spirit. And like, I don't want to partner with that ever. And so, yeah, I love that you also pray that because just it, when you get to that place where things just hit you and they hit that armor and then they just fall to the ground and you can carry out that grace and you can represent the love of Christ for people that don't know Jesus, you know?
True. And why that's like, I actually was just at a movie premiere last week and it was for this new movie coming out called Journey to Bethlehem. Have you heard of it yet?
I've heard of it. I haven't really looked into it yet. I can't wait.
Oh my gosh. So it came out today. It comes out today.
Okay.
It's a musical, which I was super nervous about in the beginning. And I told them because normally like Christian movies are like,
yeah.
And then a musical, I'm like, oh man, like I don't really know how this is going to turn out. That's like really hard to nail. They literally nailed it.
Wow.
It is so incredible. And I'm so excited because it's literally the birth of our Jesus that's being.
Yes.
Portrayed in all these theaters.
Yes.
But the reason why I bring this up, and I think that this is super important to talk about too, is when this movie started premiering, there was this woman that on Facebook, like wrote her whole review about this movie. And she was a Christian woman, a believer, and she just slandered the entire thing.
Wow.
Like just completely slandered it. And later on, I mean, it went viral on Facebook. A ton of people taking her opinion as their own, sharing it on their pages. Thousands of people now like not going to see it. All believers. And what makes me so sad about this is a couple weeks later, the director reaches out to her because he cares so much about like the authenticity and like what he did and wants to make sure it's biblically correct. And she ends up editing her post at the bottom and like taking back everything she said. But after the damage was already done for a lot of individuals.
Yeah.
And we're all imperfect. We all make mistakes. I've made mistakes. So nothing against this woman. My biggest thing that I got from it though, is this is such a warning sign. And we have to be so careful as believers that when each other, like other believers are trying to do something out of obedience for the Lord, that we are not being quick to act and quick to tear down, but that we're really seeking the truth and communion and community like with each other so that us as believers aren't tearing down what the work of the Lord is doing.
Yeah.
Like there is no time more than now that us believers need to get off of our own pedestals, get off of our comparison game, get off of my platform, your platform, what you're doing, what she's doing, where I'm speaking, where you're speaking. We stop all that nonsense and come together and say, we got to have grace for each other. How do we hold each other accountable in love, but not in a way that's going to like literally make us enemies to the rest of the world? Christians are fighting against each other when we're supposed to be fighting together.
Yes. So
that's something that I think, because when you're talking about hate comments, I've gotten so many hate comments even from other believers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that like we got to be so careful about.
Christians are the worst sometimes. Like the Christian comments are so mean. And I'm like, yeah, everything you're saying, again, I'm just like fire emojis over here. You're dropping firebombs because it's true. Like we're not called to divide the body of Christ. We're called to come together and commune together and walk this life together. And I think there's just, it's a spirit of division that's really coming into the church. And I heard a quote a couple years back that said, you'll be surprised at who you see in heaven. And it was in regards to that spirit of religion saying like, that's wrong. You're going to hell because you believe in this, when it's like, that's not what it's about. Like, it's not about our works. Like, we're not going to get into heaven because we are a good person. We all know that here. It's about what's your walk with Jesus, knowing him, having a relationship with him. And you just, your message at the Jaywalkers conference was about that. And I think that just that message has to resonate so strongly right now because there's so much division going around.
So how do you continue to love those who are hating you?
It's hard. I think, first of all, always just biting my tongue. Like, I never respond to comments unless I feel like the Holy Spirit releases me to. And then even then, I have to really, like, I'll have Jordan read over my comment before I say something. I'm like, babe, can you check me? Like, call me higher if I need to be called higher in this. And I've had my moments, right? Like, we've all had our moments where our flesh has gotten the best of us. But I think my boundary with that, especially with like blocking people, which I don't usually do, but I see my platforms as my personal stuff. Like, that is the equivalent of like if someone was standing in our front yard and wanted to come into our home. You can stand in our front yard and say whatever you want to say, right? Like, you have your right. Like, that's fine. You can say your opinion. I get that. Like, we all have our own thought process, our own rights to speak our mind. But when you start attacking me, or you try to break into my home, figuratively speaking, or you attack my family or my husband, like, that's a boundary that now you're blocked. Like, you just crossed the line. I'm not going to allow someone to disrespect me. So that's the only reason I'll block someone, is if they just are continually like attacking me, you know, personally. But no, as far as people like wanting to have dialogue in the comment sections, as heated as it can get, I just let it. Honestly, I try not to read the comments, which sounds, yeah, I just really don't. I know that probably sounds like I'm not stewarding it, but I've never felt like I need to monitor that. I just let it happen. And if there's something that I feel like I need to address, I'll hop in and, you know, but it's, you know, like when things go viral, you're reading through like thousands of comments. And I'm like, is this really using my time the way the Lord wants me to? Because we know if you see one, it could cause a downward spiral on your mind. Right. So, right. Yeah.
All you need is that one girl. And you're like, yes. Dang it.
Yes. So I just don't even. And then like on y'all's post, or like, you know, it's so, I'm sure you guys have noticed this. Like, when you build a community, that community will back you. And then it gets to a point where like, you don't even have to go in and comment on the comments that could hurt your mental health, because your incredible followers are helping you and they've got your back. And so, I love it. I love having a community that, you know, it's taken years to build, and you guys too. And it helps a lot knowing that there's people in your corner.
I just wanted to hear you talk about that so much. And I love that analogy that you gave of the neighbor's house in your front yard, because I kind of feel the same. Like, mm-hmm. If there's somebody that does one thing, but if there's somebody that's literally continually like going to every single post and just commenting ridiculous things, yeah. I block, because I feel like that is not only, yes. it's not even only about like, oh, like I don't want them to say that about me because it makes my mind spiral, but also you're planting lies in the people that God is potentially like trying to reach in the comments. So as a steward, you've got to like protect that. Yeah. But thank you so much for sharing. I know,
oh my gosh.
Like, I'm so curious about like all God is doing in your life. And as far as my testimony, since I asked so many rabbit trails,
I'm the same way.
I just have like questions that come to my head and I'm like, I need to know this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my testimony, I grew up in a Christian family. I always saw my parents have great faith. Like, honestly, I feel like my dad is like Moses in the Bible. Like, he is just like, he has such an Abraham, like he is such incredible faith. Like, it has been the biggest blessing to be able to grow up in a household that's run by my parents. But I will say, growing up, I dealt with a really big spirit of comparison, really bad. I really never fit in. So I would isolate myself a lot. I really did not like ever fit in with girls. I was treated very poorly and I love so hard. So it would really hurt me. And that began to make me build up a lot of walls in my life. And I entertained a lot of the lies that the enemy would plant in my head. Just because I didn't know any better. They were my truth, what I believed about myself. They weren't what the truth of God said. And I believed what the word of God said, and I'd speak verses over myself, but it felt like because people would reject me, that kind of almost bled over into my relationship with God, to where I felt like this is what the Lord says. And I know he's like, this word is true, but I don't really feel like that's what he says about me. Wow. Just because I've never known that from an outsider, my family's the best. They like love me so hard. But you know, when you're young and you like really seek validation from other people outside of your family. So that was really hard. And then, you know, my brother grew up in social media and he is like the biggest supporter of me ever. He like, honestly, he's my best friend. He's always supported me and like cheered me on since I was young. But while he was gone in LA, a lot of people would compare me to him, like in my school and my dance, like they would just tear me down. Like, oh, he has all these followers and you have nothing. So you must be worthless. And what are you doing? And he'd always break down those lies. But those lies, like I held for so long. So I mean, I talked about this in my Jaywalker's message. I stopped singing. I stopped worshiping. I stopped dancing. Like, I was just so bound by the spirit of comparison. It's so sad looking back now because I'm so free from it. And I realized it's something I believe God allowed me to go through because there's so many girls that go through it. And I'm so happy I get to share about it because I remember one day, this also bled onto my relationship with guys to where I felt like if I ever started to like a guy, they'd never see my value. They'd never love me back because I always felt rejected. And so like there was one day that I was laying down in bed and I looked at my phone and I really liked this guy and I saw he posted this picture with this girl. Of course, I was stalking him at night. He posted this picture with this girl. And so I just started crying because I was like, God, like you, I believe like you're good. I've seen you move in my family's life and the people I love's life. And I love you so much, but I just don't think that you have any good things for me. Like, I don't think that you can move in my life because I feel so rejected and so lonely and so lost by your people. So it must be from you too. And no matter how much I'd speak truth over myself, that's what I like felt and what was like trapping me. And in that moment, this is really probably one of the first times the Lord spoke to me. Like he spoke to me. He's like, Allie, you're chosen by me. You're chosen by me. And I was like, in the middle of the night, I was like, what?
And you're like crying. You're like, what? Yeah.
I was like, did I just make that up? You know how you think that sometimes?
Yes.
And I looked up what chosen meant, like on Google, because sometimes I just like to break apart words. Mm-hmm. And it meant selected as the best option. And I was like, wow. Like, and it really spoke to me. And he said, stop saying you're like not worthy when I thought you were so worth it. I sent my son to die for you. And I was like, okay, like God. And that really broke all of those lies like off of me. Obviously, they try to come back on, but I know what God spoke over me. And when he broke those lies off of me and I realized I didn't have to compare myself to people around me because he had a unique plan for me that would be what would fulfill me specifically and that I could never do anything that all these people around me were doing or live in someone else's shadow because that would never fulfill me. It set me free from so much. I started being able to speak out little by little. It wasn't overnight. I had to choose to conquer fears. I just conquered one of the Jaywalkers conference. I'm still a work in progress, but I begin to see and believe that God does have those promises for me too, and that he has a plan for me as well. And the reason why I share this is because as soon as I started believing, it began to unlock what God had for me. And the verse that God used really in that season of my life was Luke 1:45, which is blessed is she who believed what the Lord has spoken over her. Wow. And I was like, I believe it, God. I believe I'm chosen. I believe I'm worth it. I believe you have a plan for my life. And when I believed it, God just blew my mind. And he's been so faithful ever since. And I even look back to, like, just like you said, with your past, like, I look back to that season that I was so bound and so, like, just trapped in a prison of lies. And I saw, like, the things that God had spoken to me and how he used, like, even that season and how those words that he spoke to me, even in my darkest season, he still brought to like pass.
Yeah.
In the future. And I'm just so overwhelmed by God's faithfulness. And I do want to encourage you girls too. This is a huge part of my testimony. The first time I ever felt the Lord call me to do something was when I was like 15 years old. He called me to start a Bible study. I had no friends. I always got left out. And he called me to reach out to the girls that left me out.
Oh,
I invite them to a Bible study. And the day that I went to announce the Bible study in front of the church, this girl that did not like me heard that I was going to do this. And she took the microphone, like I promised, like in a movie, took the microphone as I walked up and invited all the girls to her Bible study that she was starting on the same day at the same time.
Oh,
same time.
My gosh.
Yes.
That's so mean.
so mean. And we were so young and I was so fragile because I was already dealing with so many lies that I just ran into the bathroom and cried and was like, God, why would you call me to do something that you had for someone else? And maybe I wasn't worth it. So she was, and you took it away from me. And I talked to this lady, her name's Carolyn. She was my mentor when I was young. And she told me, like, don't stop just because someone else started. There's room for both of you. And so I did. And the Lord really used that first study that I did when I was 15 to plant that seed in my heart of ministry and of teaching and of a girls' community for girls that, you know, don't feel like they belong and don't have a hub of Christian friends that want to come alongside them and like speak truth into their life. And that's where Chosen and Free birthed out of. So all of that to say, like, there's going to be opposition against what the Lord's called you to do. You just have to know it and expect it so that when it happens, you're like, this is the enemy. I'm not letting this conquer. I wish I would have known that sooner. And I'm so thankful the grace of God brought Carolyn into my life and like spoke that truth into me. Cause who would, like, I would be so sad if I never knew what God had in store because I bought into a lie. You know?
Yeah. Oh, the enemy absolutely does. He sent, and he always sends a counterfeit too. I feel like he'll try to send another idea that seems better than what God has called you to, because you're a little more intimidated by God's calling than what else is in front of you. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll choose the wrong thing. And then all of a sudden we're not walking in obedience with the Lord. So I love that the Lord has redeemed so much of the hurt in your past with not feeling good enough, comparison, feeling left out, rejected, because those are all things that I think so many girls have felt at one point in their life. I know my whole childhood, I felt like that because I was the same. I kind of didn't feel like I fit in, and I just felt like I was included because people felt bad. And I was really awkward in high school. Yeah. And so I wasn't like Miss Popular. I wasn't homecoming queen. I was just kind of Brittany. There she is. And so, yeah, I love that. That actually like spoke to my heart too, because I think it's just so beautiful watching how the Lord used, he makes so much beauty from our broken pieces. And that's what he did with all of that. So thank you for sharing that, Allie. I'm so glad we got to do this. This is so much fun. Yes. Well, thank you for being here. Is there anything else that you feel like is on your heart you want to share? Where can everyone find you that isn't following you yet?
Yeah, honestly, the biggest thing that I could just share is whatever God's called you to do, do with your whole heart. Do not delay. Don't let the enemy put it in your mind that you're like, you know what, maybe tomorrow or maybe next week or maybe a year. If God's called you to do it now, he's qualifying you. So just do it and grow your faith. It's not going to be comfortable. It's going to be so uncomfortable, and it's going to be so worth it when you see how he just uses your weakness and he comes in as your strength. Like, it is absolutely mind-blowing. You can follow me on social medias. My name is Ali Shinaki, so it's like literally nobody has it. It's literally Ali Shinaki on everything. I got so blessed with that. And yeah, I have a podcast called Keep It Real. I think I'm actually having Brittany on my podcast next week.
I'm so excited. It's going to be so fun. Yes, I know. We can talk about all the things that we didn't get to today on yours.
So much.
And then yes.
Rico, we have an Instagram page that just has truth every single day, a lot like Brittany, every day to just remind you of who you are and what God is saying. And we have a Christmas event coming up.
Ooh, that's fun. And y'all are in Florida, right?
Yes. You want to move?
Oh, girl, you don't have to twist my arm. We were in Rosemary Beach in September, and I was like, you don't even feel like you're in the U.S. Like, it feels like a little oasis in a different country. It's so beautiful there. And yeah, I would move in a heartbeat if we could.
Well, hey, I'm holding on to that hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you so much, Allie. And I'm so excited to chat on your podcast. I just adore her. I absolutely adore Allie. Her heart for the Lord, her tenacity, the way that she is so unapologetic. I usually have questions, but today we just truly let the Holy Spirit lead. And I absolutely love the topics that came up in conversation. Cancel culture, social media, the pressures that come with that, and everything in between. If you found today's episode encouraging in any capacity, feel free to tag us on social media or leave a 5-star review. Always appreciated. And as always, thank you guys so much for stopping in, and I'll see you guys in the next episode.
If you'd like to learn more about Brittany Dawn, you can find her personal platforms and ministry through the social links below. Thank you for listening in today, and remember, there's no depth that God will not go for you. His grace is sufficient, even here.